So how are we doing so far? Are we taking it in? Are we grasping what was said? Again, just remember in chapter 2, this is a big, big issue. There are actually two of them. And that's what show you, I think we said, chapter 2 makes me really appreciate the power of God that could do such a thing because it is impossible. You have two group of people. We have heard Gentiles, which means you're not a Jew. Most everybody here. Okay? That's a Gentile, not a Jew. It's very simple. And a Jew is not a Gentile. And these people just hate each other. And they both, no good for God. Ones are dead in trespasses and sin. The other ones are children of wrath. And God, now in his grace, he said, you know, this is a wonderful thing about when God's work. He doesn't take half-decent people and make them decent. He takes those who are just completely good for nothing and then make them in that position. So, first he gives life. He puts you in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But then there is another problem. And that's, as we have heard, the Jew and the Gentile. There's no way. I mean, like we, the Jews, would say, we are the people of God. Got the Ten Commandments. Moses, the prophets. I mean, these are dogs. As a matter of fact, the Jew usually every morning thank God that he is not a woman. He's not a Gentile. Or he's not a dog and he's not a Gentile. I mean, that's really, really how they are. And then God said, I'm going to bring a peace. Now, the United Nations have about 885 resolution to bring peace in the Middle East between Jews and Gentile. How many of them worked? Zero. How long does the ceasefire takes place? Maybe 5 minutes. It's just not working. But look what God could do when no man could do. He brings them together. He put them not in one room. He put them in Christ. And he put them in the heavenly places. And they sit together. You go to Israel in a meeting there. Here are Jews and Gentiles sitting together, singing from the same hymn book. While outside they're shooting at each other. When they are not believers. Only God could do the work. Again, he does it for the delight and the pleasure of himself. That's chapter 2, the section that Brother Chuck went over.
It's interesting the language that's used because there are principles that we can understand. So there's a wall of separation between the two. Now, there in history, there was the Iron Curtain. And the Iron Curtain, basically, it's a line drawn in the middle of Germany that separated the communists, what Russia had control over, versus what the West had control over. And one of the big things was to, and there was a wall down the middle of Berlin, and it became a symbol of the division between ideologies. And the whole thing was, let's tear this wall down and then all the problems are solved. And you'll, as you get older, you hear tearing down the wall was a big deal and the wall came down. And it really didn't solve any problems because there's still a difference, but you could still tell when you're looking at the countries today, there is a difference between East and West. God doesn't just tear down the wall, he builds something else. He's building a new building. I mean, we talked about the framework. The framework's coming here. He's now building something completely different. He wasn't satisfied just saying, okay, now there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, but you're still a Jew and Gentile and, you know, the difference. He's building something else, and he's building something that displays neither side. He's building something that displays Christ. Because all throughout all of these things we've talked about, the purposes of God isn't that we're the center of anything or that it's all about Christ being made what is visible, what's on display, because God is doing something from before the foundation of the world, and that is so that his Son is displayed, is preeminent, and losing sight of anything that we do or anything that we are, any earthly divisions we have, it's all for Christ to be displayed.
I think it's important that we emphasize this, because as you go home, and you perhaps go to university, you begin to mix with some groups that are there. I believe the one thing that you're going to find, there's two things you're going to find especially prevalent in our part of the world. And that is the movement that a believer really is not secure in Christ. That you can be saved today and you can be lost tomorrow. That you personally can do something that undoes the work of Christ. That's a huge danger that you have to really be grounded in the Word of God in. Then the second danger that we're looking at here is if that doesn't succeed, or in many of the places where that is there, then this is the cousin that's right beside it, that you have to keep these Ten Commandments. You have to keep the law. And so the responsibility is put on you, and, you know, it blights the Christian testimony. When anything takes the place of Christ in my life, it'll have a blighting effect. So these are so important, the principles. And the wall that our brother has made, the government took it down. In what we're looking at now, our Lord Jesus did. That's what it says right here. He is our peace who has made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. Get hold of that. No matter what anybody tells you, no matter what verses they bring before you, that middle wall is broken down. And I can say it with the authority, not of who I am or what I am, but I can turn one to the Word of God. We stand on thus saith the Lord. And it says that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. Not a body of Jews. And even in the beginning of the book of Acts, there would have been the tendency that there would have been Jews meeting to the name of Christ in this city, and Gentiles meeting in the name of Christ in this city. And the Spirit of God said, no. We're not going to do that. There is one body. And so he works that, in fact, Jews and Gentiles in Samaria, if we know the first of the book of Acts, where he shows the breaking down of that right from the beginning.
Just to quickly add to that, the key point is that they're reconciled to God. Because you can have two people, and the reason why the Israelis and the Gentiles will never be reconciled together because they're not reconciled to God. But he doesn't just reconcile them to each other. He says they have to be reconciled to God. And then you can come together and be reconciled to one another.
Just a quick question. Can a brother just clarify...